Father Robert Young.
Good morning. Good morning, dear friends, and welcome again to our broadcast on the will of God. As we continue in this beautiful month of May, the month of our Blessed Mother, with reflections from Our Lady given to Louisa in a book entitled The Virgin Mary and the Kingdom of the Divine Will, a very momentous time in Louisa's life when Mary, her Blessed Mother, came to her every day and presented to her these, offered her these beautiful lessons that Louisa could then record and pass on to us about how our Blessed Mother was so gifted in being the one who lived in God's will, the only creature who lived in God's will absolutely perfectly. So let's begin by honoring her today as we also celebrate Mother's Day. We wish to wish all our mothers a very happy and blessed Mother's Day and thanksgiving for the gift of life you've given to the world. And in a special way, happy Mother's Day to our Blessed Mother, to the Mary, Queen of the Divine Will. So let us begin with the prayer of the Celestial Queen for every day of the month of May. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Immaculate Queen, my Celestial Mother, I come upon your maternal knees as your dear child to abandon myself in your arms, to beg of you with my most ardent sighs in this month consecrated to you the greatest grace of all, that you would admit me to live in the kingdom of the divine will. Holy Mother, you who are the queen of this kingdom, admit me as your child to live in it, so that it no longer be deserted but populated with your children. I entrust myself to you, my sovereign queen, so that you may guide my steps into the kingdom of the divine will. And held tightly by your maternal hand, you will guide all my being, so that I may live perennial life in the divine will. You will be a mother to me, and because of this, I shall consign my will to you, so that you may exchange it for me with the divine will. In this way, I can be sure of never going out of its kingdom. Therefore, I beg you to enlighten me, to make me understand what the will of God means. Together let us say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Heavenly Mother, we love you. Love us too, and give us a sip of the will of God for our souls. Give us your blessing also, so that everything we do, all of our thoughts, words, and acts may be done under the watchful gaze of your loving care. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, yes, this prayer is a wonderful way, I think, for us to begin every day in the month of May, perhaps every day of our lives, asking Mary, who is the Mother and Queen of us all, Queen of the Divine Will, to help us to, as the prayer says, to understand what will of God means. Of course, we'll never understand it fully, will we? Because it's the greatest mystery. It's the very mystery of who God is, God's very divine life, the one unifying principle of the Most Holy Trinity. They all have one will. They do not have three wills. And so it's a wonderful way for us to enter this kingdom by asking Mary to help us. Because after all, she was given the gift herself from the moment of her conception. Unfortunately, we weren't given it that way. We've been given it another way. We've been given it as creatures fallen, like Adam and Eve, from original grace, so that we learn it gradually. We learn it in all that we read in the writings of Louisa. But also we learn it in Scripture, we learn it in all the doctrines of the Church, everything that speaks to us of who God is and reveals to us the mystery of His will. What is unique about this way of life and this divine science, as St. Hannibal de Francia called it, who was her editor and first publisher and censor of her writings, He said it's a divine science because it's really a whole body of knowledge about a great reality, the greatest reality of all, which is the will of God. And so what we have here in the Book of Heaven and in the other writings of Louisa is a whole way to learn and also to receive the gift, because the gift comes with the knowledge and the understanding and the practice. And so it's God's way now of calling us back to this original grace of creation, to know, love, and possess the reign of His own divine will in our souls. And so that is never an individual gift. When it's given to one soul, it's given to all souls, because the divine will is never given to one. It's always given to all. And so all of the acts that Jesus did in His life, death, and resurrection, in which Mary shared so profoundly with Him, are now also given to us. You know, the Catechism of the Church has a beautiful way of expressing this that we repeat many times because it's a great reminder to us. Catechism number 521 says that Christ enables us to live all that He lived, and He lives it in us. In fact, if you heard the gospel from today's Mass, from John's Gospel, chapter 14, in the Easter season, as you know, we have these wonderful passages from John's Gospel, in which Jesus, revealing Himself to the disciples, He says, Philip says to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough." You know, so many times we might want to say the same, you know, "Lord, we'd like to see Your face. We'd like to see the face of God." And Jesus says, "But I've been with you all this time, and still you don't know Me, because if you've seen Me, you see the Father." Then He says these amazing words. He says, "The Father who dwells in Me is doing His works." The Father who dwells in Me is doing His works. And I think what he's saying there is that the Father's will, the will of the Father, which is the work of the Father, is accomplished perfectly in everything Jesus does. This is what the Incarnation is really about. It's the marriage, if you will, of the will of God with humanity once again in the Incarnation of Jesus, the Son of God. And so a couple of verses later then, Jesus will say, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in Me will do the works that I do." And so what he's saying is basically that if the Father is acting in him, and he's doing the will of the Father, that if we believe, and this is, of course, truly believe, then we will also do the works that Jesus accomplishes, which are the works of the will of God. And then he says, "You will do greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father." So when he gives the great commission to the apostles and places the church in the hands of Peter and the apostles and the keys of the kingdom to them, he's saying that they will now continue to do the works that he has done, and they will be the ones now to, in a sense, bring the kingdom of heaven to earth as Jesus did in his own person. But that now happens through the church and through his followers and disciples, members of his body here on earth. And so it's really not, again, it's not a new teaching. It's here in the gospel. It's here in all of the scriptures that the will of God is accomplished in Jesus' humanity. And now he's saying, if you're one with me, you will also be doing the will of the Father. And as he says in the synoptic gospels, "Whoever does the will of my Father is mother and sister and brother to me." Well, that's just a way of introducing today, the once again, as we continue the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom of the Divine Will. What we'd like to do is read the present day, a current day that we're on, which is day 9 in the month of Mary. And each day of the month that Mary was with Louisa and gave her these beautiful lessons is a way for us to take a step, if you will, with her closer to God and more deeply into the kingdom, the reign of God's will on earth. So that Mary was given, like all of us creatures, she was given her own path to follow. And Mary says, "All along the way, I had to be undergoing tests and trials and I had to continuously give my fiat, my yes, my surrender and abandonment to the will of God, just as we do. Only Mary did it perfectly, and that's why she can help us so much. She has a very special role in this kingdom, which we're learning this month, and hopefully we'll continue to learn. And that's really what these lessons are about. How did Mary live in the kingdom of God's will? And how do we, her children and the children of God, learn from her how to do it ourselves in our own lives in a perhaps much more broken way, because we're suffering the effects of original sin. But nonetheless, we continue to do it with her. So this morning, as we read day 9, I have three members of our Divine Will groups here, Florida, to help me as readers. So Magda's going to begin for us now the day 9, and remember these are dialogues between the soul, who kind of Louisa's representing all souls here, but it's a dialogue between Louisa and Mary. And so it begins with Louisa, the soul, speaking to the Celestial Queen.
The Queen of Heaven in the kingdom of the divine will is constituted by God as celestial peacemaker and born of peace between the Creator and the creature. The soul to the Celestial Queen. Sovereign Lady and dearest Mother, I see that you are calling me, since I feel the ardor of the love that burns in your heart, because you want to narrate to me what you did in the kingdom of the divine will for your child. How beautiful it is to see your steps turn towards your Creator, and as the divine persons hear your footsteps, they look at you and feel themselves wounded by the purity of your gaze, and they wait for you in order to be spectators of your innocent smile, to smile at you and play with you. Oh, Holy Mother, in your joys, in your chaste smiles with your Creator, do not forget your child who lives in exile, who needs you so much, and whose will often peeking out will want to overcome me by tearing me from the divine will.
Thank you, Magda. Yeah, so there we have just the very opening of this day, as in every day of the month, that the soul, Louisa, again representing all souls, speaks to Mary and prays that she would not forget her little child who lives in exile. You know, we're here on earth in exile, but at the same time called to live in the heaven of God's will, that heaven that he placed in Mary by the gift of the divine will that he wants now to be formed in each one of us. And Louisa says, your little child who needs you so much and whose human will, often trying to peek out, to stick out its little head, would want to overcome me by tearing me from the divine will. This is, of course, a great reality and theme of the Book of Heaven, that it's our human will that most often will get us into trouble, that wants to have its way, wants to rebel, like, you know, the original rebellion in heaven, which was, I will not serve. We all want to have our way at times, and our little human will wants to rear its ugly head and go against God's will and tear us away from the divine will. So we need our mother as one to help us, because she never did that. She never allowed her human will to overcome the divine will, or to, in a sense, as someone said yesterday, to abort the divine will in her life. And certainly we don't want to do that either. We want to be always one with God's will, at least in our desires and in the intentions of our hearts. So now, in response to this prayer, this desire of the soul, our Blessed Mother, the Queen of Heaven, gives an answer to Louisa. And someone said in our discussion last week very beautifully that, you know, we all look to our mothers in a certain sense, especially as children, for protection, for guidance, for nurturing. And this is Mary's role in our lives as well. And so one of the ways she's doing that today is by teaching us and sharing with us these beautiful lessons, which she has received herself. Mary didn't invent these things, these words. She received them from the divine will. So now Valerie's going to read for us beginning of the lesson of the Queen of Heaven.
Child of my maternal heart, do not fear. I will never forget you. Indeed, if you will always do the divine will and live in its kingdom, we will be inseparable. And I will always hold you tightly by my hand to lead you and act as your guide, to let you learn to live in the supreme fiat. Therefore, banish your fear. In it, all is peace and safety. The human will is the disturber of souls and endangers the most beautiful works, the holiest things. In it, everything is in danger. In danger is sanctity, the virtues, and the very salvation of the soul. The characteristic of who lives by the human will is inconstancy. Who could ever trust one who lets himself be dominated by the human will? No one, neither God nor man. He is similar to those empty reeds, which turn at every breath of wind. Therefore, my dearest child, if whatever breath of wind wants to render you inconstant, plunge into the sea of the divine will and come to hide yourself in the lap of your mother, so that she may defend you from the wind of your human will and hold you tightly in her arms to keep you safe and sound on the path of the divine kingdom. Now, my child, follow me before the Supreme Majesty and listen to me. I, with my rapid flight, arrived into the arms of the divine persons. And as I arrived, I felt their overflowing love, which, as impetuous waves, covered me with their love. Oh, how beautiful it is to be loved by God. In this love is felt happiness, sanctity, infinite joys. And the creature feels so embellished that God himself feels enraptured by the special beauty that he infuses in the creature in loving it. I wanted to imitate them. And although tiny, I did not want to remain behind in love. Therefore, from the ways of love that they had given me, I formed my ways to cover my Creator with my love. In doing that, I smiled, because I knew that my love could never cover the immensity of their love. But with all that I gave proof, and upon my lips burst my innocent smile, the Supreme Being smiled at my smile and made merry and amused himself with my littleness.
Thank you, Valerie. So, Louisa, our Blessed Mother there, speaking in response to Louisa, is giving her this beautiful lesson of how Mary herself, and we may find it hard to understand how Mary, as a tiny child, could be in the presence of God there in heaven, where she says that she went before the Supreme Majesty in her rapid flights and arrived in the arms of the divine persons. But remember, too, that all of the acts of God's will are done in eternity, and therefore they're not limited by time. So certainly this happened for Mary in the Assumption, her Assumption into heaven. And so who knows that God, you know, is capable of doing that for her, even as a little child or even as an embryo, that she could have been brought before the Supreme Majesty in heaven. But in any case, in the acts of the divine will, Mary's acts transcended time. And so she could feel this overflowing love that God covered her, the seed of her life, with this immaculate conception, with the gift of original grace. As St. Maximus the Confessor calls it, the gift of original grace, which was the indwelling of the divine will in her soul. And she felt then the love of God poured forth upon her in such great seas or oceans of happiness and joy that she says even God was enraptured by the beauty that he himself infused into this creature by loving her. And so again, Mary's desire is simply to return that love, all these waves of love that she received. And in doing that, she says she smiled because she knew her love could never cover the immensity of God's love. You know, I don't know about you, but so often, you know, I've thought, how can we as a human being ever return love to God, who is all-powerful, all-infinite, all-loving, wise himself? And, of course, the answer is probably that we could not. In our humanity, it's simply not possible. And that's precisely why he gave to Adam and Eve and to Mary herself, as the one in whom the Word would become flesh, he gave this gift of the divine will so that his own love, covering them, living in them, dwelling in them, would be able to be returned to him. How? Through the fiat, through the gift of our own will, uniting itself with that love of God's will. And if you think about it, that's really the whole purpose of a human will, which is our capacity to love. Because as philosophy says, especially in the Franciscan tradition, love is an act of the will. And the will has primacy over everything else. And so if we're able to love, it's only because we have a will. And that's true of humanity, but it's also true of the angels. They were freely created as spirits to love and serve God. We were created with a body and a soul. So we're more than spirit, we're also body that is able to love God with God's own love. And so that's what Mary's learning in her own steps here in the divine will, and what she wants to teach us is to, in those moments of our lives, which we all have, even in trying to love our neighbor, our own families, our friends, to know that God gives us his love, to love him in return and to love them through us, even in our own weakness and littleness. And so now, for us, Misha's going to read the conclusion of this day 9 for us in the beautiful month of Mary and of May.
Now, in the midst of the most beautiful of our loving stratagems, I remembered the sad state of my human family on earth, and that I also was of their race. Oh, how I sorrowed and prayed that the eternal word would descend to bring the remedy. And I spoke with such tenderness that I went so far as to change my smile and festivity into weeping. The Most High was so moved by my tears, much more so that they were the tears of a tiny one, that squeezing me in the bosom, the divine bosom, they dried my tears and said, "Daughter, do not cry. Courage. Into your hands we have placed the destiny of the human race. We have given you the mandate, and now, to more console you, we are letting you make peace between us and the human family. Thus, to you is given to repacify us. The power of our volition, which reigns in you, imposes itself upon us to give the kiss of peace to poor, impoverished, and endangered humanity. Who can say, my child, what my heart experienced at this divine condescension? So much was my love that I felt myself swoon and delirious. I searched longingly for other love to refresh my love. Now a word to you, my child. If you will listen to me by putting aside your human will, giving the regal place to the divine fiat, you too will be loved with special love by your Creator. You will be his smile. You will put him into festivity. And you will be bound of peace between the world and God.
Thank you, Misha. Those last words, I think, are especially meaningful for us in this season of Easter, where Mary is saying to Louisa that if you do what I did, in a sense, that is, if you follow these steps in the kingdom of the divine will, she says, you will experience also this love of God for you. And you will be the bond of peace between the world and God. That's, if you think of it, the great vocation of Mary, the bond of peace between the world and God. Now, we could say that Jesus, of course, is the one mediator between God and man. He is the bond himself between our humanity and the divine life, the divine will. But if you remember, too, that it's through Mary that Jesus came to us. And so Mary, we could say, shares that role with him, not equally, but as a perfect creature on earth. She, too, is the bond of peace between the world and God, because she is the one through whom Jesus was given to us and came to us. Reminds me of a beautiful passage in St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, where he says, whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed away and new things have come. And all this is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. What is the ministry of reconciliation in the church? It's certainly the great sacrament of penance, the sacrament of reconciliation. But I think it's more than that. It's also all that God calls us to be as the bonds, the reconcilers, the ones who try to make peace between God and the world. And I see that as a wonderful way for us to understand not only the life of Mary, but the life of all of us in the kingdom of God's will. Because what God asks of us is that we take that role, we share the role with him as co-mediators, which does not mean equal, but with, that is, being mediators, peacemakers with Jesus and Mary in this world here on earth, where we want to be reconciled with the Father. And so Mary says to Louisa, do not cry, have courage. She says, into your hands we have placed the destiny of the human race. Excuse me, that's our Lord speaking to Mary herself, the divine Trinity, telling Mary that God has placed in her hands the very destiny of the human race. And if you think of it, God has also placed in our hands the destiny of the human race. As we come to know this great gift, it's also God's way of asking us, inviting us to share with him his mission. And just as we heard in John's Gospel, Jesus says, you will do the works that I do and even greater works than these, because God has entrusted to us his will to accomplish them. Of our own power, we have certainly absolutely no capacity to do that. But through the power of the divine will, we have all that we need to bring this about. And so at the end of each day, as we have today, we have the soul, which makes a final reply to the lesson of Mary, and then a little flower that Mary asks Louisa to bring her for the day, and finally concluding with a short little prayer or exclamation that we can say throughout the day. So the soul says to Mary, beautiful mother, help your child. You yourself place me in the sea of the divine will. Cover me with the waves of eternal love, so that I may neither see nor hear anything else than divine will and love. And so Louisa and the soul of all of us ask Mary for that help to cover us with the ways of eternal love, so that all of our lives can be focused, concentrated, being attentive to the will of God and God's love in our lives. So the little flower that Mary gives her today, as we all bring Mary flowers in this month of May, Mary says, today to honor me, you will request from me all of my acts, to enclose them in your heart, so that you may feel the strength of the divine will which reigned in me. And then you will offer them to the Most High, to thank him for all the offices which he entrusted to me in order to save his creature, all of his creatures. So So you have in that little flower actually a beautiful way of expressing what we call the rounds. That is, you know, what we do in this life of the divine will is we receive from God and from the hands of our Blessed Mother who had the divine will all that God has done in creating us, redeeming, and sanctifying us. And Mary says, take all my acts that have been done in my life and take them and enclose them in your own heart. They were done for you, were done for everyone, but most people don't receive them. So she says, take them into yourself, receive them, so that you may feel the strength of the same divine will which reigned in me. And then to complete that round of after receiving, we offer them back to God, return them to God with our own wills united to them in the divine will to thank God for all that he has given to Mary, all of the offices, which we would say would be all of the acts, the vocation, the mission that was given our Blessed Mother as Mother of Jesus, of God, but also our Mother. All of these offices, these duties, if you will, that he gave to Mary in order to save us. And so it's receiving and then returning. It's a beautiful full circle, everything coming to completion through the will of God acting in us. Again, Mary could never do this on her own, and neither can we. It's God's gift and God's working in our lives, as Jesus says in the Gospel. And it's the work of the Father and the work of the Holy Spirit, because there's one will uniting those three persons in the Trinity, which dwell in us through baptism. So finally, the little exclamation given today is, Queen of Peace, give me the kiss of peace of the divine will. It's wonderful, again, to reiterate that thought of being the bond of peace between the world and God, as Mary was. She is the Queen of Peace. She is the one who, through whom peace was restored to us and through the gift of the divine will. So we ask Mary to give her, as a little child, a chaste kiss of peace, the peace of the divine will. We have, you know, the image of kissing a lot in throughout the writings of Louisa, but it's the kiss of a child. It's the kiss of one who loves and who is devoted to their mother, who thanks her and blesses her with that kiss. But here we're asking Mary to give us a kiss as well. And also, as we say each day, to give us a sip of the divine will. That is, give us a touch of the divine will so that it will continue to grow and flourish in our souls and in our lives. Well, at this time, we normally take a little time to pause and reflect a bit on what we've listened to, and also to ask our Blessed Mother in a special way today to enfold us all in her loving heart, keep us in her immaculate heart, and to allow all of the gifts and the wonderful mission, the acts of her own life, to be enclosed in our lives so that we can glorify God and love God with her. readings. That concluded the Virgin Day 9 of the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom of the Divine Will. But there are many, many other references to our Blessed Mother in the Book of Heaven as well, as there are also in the Hours of the Passion, the three great works of Louisa. But especially in the Book of Heaven, we have some wonderful ways to come to appreciate this role of Mary in the history of salvation and of sanctification. She has a very prominent, important, essential role in all of this that the Church, of course, especially the Catholic Church, has always recognized. And so what we're learning is what Mary was asked to be and to do in her life. God is now offering us as well and asking us to share with her, of course, through the power of the divine will of the Holy Trinity. And so I'd like to share a few passages today from the Book of Heaven, which help us to understand better this role of our Blessed Mother in the work of salvation and sanctification. This first one is taken from Volume 11. The date is May 9th, happens to be the same day as today. May 9th, 1913. So this is from Volume 11, and as we recall, Volume 11 is really when Louisa is beginning to learn most deeply these lessons of the divine will, how God is forming in her its life so that it will reign in Louisa as it reigned in Mary and in redemption. And so from May 9th, 1913, the title of this one, or the little summary of it, is Jesus and His Mama Are Inseparable, How Mary Carried Out Her Role of Mother. And so again, we're learning more in these passages, Mary's role in the Kingdom of the Divine Will. So Val's going to read now for us May 9th, 1913 entry.
While praying, I was thinking about that moment in which Jesus took leave of His Most Holy Mother to go and suffer His Passion. And I said to myself, how is it possible that Jesus could separate from His dear Mama, and she from Jesus? And Blessed Jesus told me, my daughter, surely there could not be separation between me and my sweet Mama. The separation was only apparent. She and I were fused together, and the fusion was such and so great that I remained with her, and she came with me. So it can be said that there was a sort of bilocation. This also happens to souls when they are truly united with me. And if, while praying, they let prayer enter into their souls as life, a sort of fusion and bilocation occurs. I bring them with me wherever I am, and I remain with them. My daughter, you cannot comprehend well what my beloved Mama was for me. In coming upon earth, I could not be without heaven, and my heaven was my Mama. There was such electricity running between me and her that not one thought escaped her which she would not draw from my mind. And this drawing from me of word, will, desire, action, step, in sum of everything, formed the sun, the stars, the moon in this heaven, together with all possible delights that a creature can give me and that she herself can enjoy. Oh, how I delighted in this heaven. Oh, how I felt cheered and repaid for everything. Even the kisses that my Mama gave me enclosed the kiss of all humanity, returning to me the kiss of all creatures. I felt my sweet Mama everywhere. I felt her in my breath, and if it was labored, she would relieve it. I felt her in my heart, and if it was embittered, she would sweeten it. I felt her in my step, and if it was tired, she would give me vigor and rest. And who can tell you how I felt her in my passion? At each lash, at each thorn, at each wound, at each drop of my blood, I felt her everywhere, carrying out the office of my true mother. awe if souls reciprocated me, if they drew everything from me, how many heavens and how many mothers would I have on earth?
Thank you, Valerie. A very beautiful passage, isn't it? Especially as we celebrate Mother's Day and the motherhood of Mary in this month of May, that this inseparability, almost the indwelling, mutual indwelling of Jesus with his mother, of course, all possible only because of the divine will, that she had that gift from her conception. And as Jesus says, it can be said there was a sort of bilocation here. That is, he was dwelling in her and she was dwelling in him. And he says, this happens also to souls when they are truly united with me. Well, that's a teaching of the church, actually. You'll find it in the Catechism and the doctrines of the church, that through the sacraments, we are given the grace of this mutual indwelling. Jesus says in John's Gospel, dwell in me, that is, live in me as I dwell in you. Remain in me as I remain in you. Let it be continuous indwelling. So he says he had this with his mother. Of course, Mary had it as a gift of special dispensation of grace through the Immaculate Conception. But it's something that that God wants for all of us. And so he says he could not be separated from Mary because of this great gift, this great grace of having the divine will to reign in her at all times. And so he says, when a soul, when prayer really enters our souls as life, a sort of fusion and bilocation occurs. So he says, I bring them with me wherever I am, and I remain with them. Seems to me that's really at the very heart of what this gift of the divine will is, that it's God's desire, and hopefully our desire with him, to have God always be with us, always united with us. And that's precisely what we pray for in the Lord's Prayer, that God's kingdom come to reign on earth in us, and that his will be done here on earth. And when that kingdom of God comes, when the will of God reigns on earth, we have heaven on earth. Some of us perhaps might find that strange to imagine that we could live the life of heaven on earth, but in one sense, of course, we're not speaking of the life of the beatific vision here. We're not speaking of the beatitude, of the fullness of beatitude of the saints, which can only happen when we're in heaven. But Jesus does pray that the kingdom of heaven come to earth and that it reign here in our souls. And so to the extent that we're capable here on earth, God wants his heaven to be in us. So that just as the saints in heaven and the angels live with their wills completely fused and united to that of God, so can we. And that's why he says for him to descend upon earth, he could not come if he did not find this heaven, that is the heaven of God's will, already here. And where did he find it? He found it in the humble servant, the Mother of God. And he himself had created that heaven in her through the Immaculate Conception. It was not Mary's choice, and it was not her doing. Her whole life, then, was a choice to accept it, to give her fiat, and to live in it, in that heaven herself. But to receive it was God's gift and grace to her. Now, we're going to receive it in a different way, as I said earlier. We're going to learn about it, and through the knowledge and the practice, have that heaven formed in us. And so this current that was always running between Jesus and Mary through the divine will going between them, that current can also be in us. That is, at other times, Jesus will say, it's like electrical wires that connect you to me in everything you do. So this current of God's love, of God's will always keep us united to him in this bond of peace. And he says that when this happened, that in Mary's life, he says she would draw everything from that current, and that in her was placed the creative power to form the sun, the stars, the moons, the heavens, everything on earth, plants and minerals and creatures and animals. everything that was in the divine will, Mary, in a sense, participated in that act of creation. This is something that is hard for, again, for us to imagine, but if you think it's, again, it's not we who do it or Mary who did it, but the will of God, which is the power of creating. It is the will of God that caused everything to be. Then he's saying, if you have that principle of my willing and my life in you, then you create with me in everything you do. You become a co-creator, not equal. The word co does not mean equal. It means with. So we can create with God all that he made. And he says, whenever you can do that, you rejoice with me in the beauty of all these wonders of creation that I've made. And so it's through this heaven that he formed in Mary that Jesus was able to come to earth. He was able to come and take form as a human person. And he says, then everything that Mary did in exchange was able to, in a sense, repay me, love me. As he says, in my mama, she enclosed the kiss of all humanity. It's an image for us, just a way of speaking to say that the love of all of humanity then was also in Mary. So Mary had God in her, but she also had all of humanity. And every soul, the church says, is in a sense a microcosm of the whole church and of all humanity. Why? Not because of our humanity, but because of God's divine life in us. So that every soul, in a sense, contains all souls. But Mary, in a very special way, contained all souls because she was our mother. And so when she was conceived, she conceived us with her. And so she has then the capacity to give to God, give back to God all of this love and thanksgiving and rejoicing in what he has done. So he says he felt Mary in his own breath. And he says if his breath, if Jesus had trouble breathing, Mary could relieve him. He felt her in her heart so that if his heart was experiencing bitterness, she would sweeten it. He felt her in her steps. So that if he was tired, it was Mary who would give him rest. It's a wonderful thought that in everything we do, every act, every breath, and heartbeat, and step, that we can also bring that comfort to Jesus. And so as we saw during the season of Lent and that wonderful work, the Hours of the Passion, that what Jesus experienced in his passion, Mary was with him. She was there. And she was the one who gave him, through the power of the divine will, the support and the love and the strength, the encouragement to complete his work, his mission here on earth. He says, I felt her everywhere carrying out the office of my true mother. And then, of course, he wants to tell each one of us, those who are mothers and those who are not, that we all have this calling. We all have the same vocation to be a mother to Jesus, and that is to be with him as Mary was in all that he continues to suffer in the world through his humanity present in the church, to continue to relieve him, comfort him, to make reparation for all those who do not love him and believe in him. And then Jesus concludes this wonderful passage by saying, if only souls reciprocated me. In other words, if only souls could return what I've done for them. If only souls could at least acknowledge and return the love that I've given them. He says, if they drew everything from me as my mother did, how many heavens and how many mothers would I have on earth? Sounds so much like the words of Jesus in the gospel, that we can be his heaven, we can be his mother, we can be with him at all times through the gift of the divine will. And I'm sure all of us would say, well, that's maybe a bit beyond me at this point. We all feel inadequate to the task at times. I'm sure Mary did as well. And yet, it's consoling to know that it's not our work. As Jesus said in the gospel today, it's the work of God himself in us. And that he says we will do greater things than he did. How could that be possible? Only, brothers and sisters, because the will of God will do it in us. So we don't discouraged by our weakness, our failures. There are times, perhaps, in trying to live this gift that we forget, or we can grow a bit complacent or negligent. Our reciprocation. He's waiting for us to invite the divine will into our acts. He's waiting for us to place those acts in His will. And so we try to remember, as Jesus says often, be faithful and attentive. That is, be faithful, that continuously uniting yourself with my will. And also attentive because we have to keep our eyes open, our ears, our hearts open to the way God is working in this moment. This day will never come again. These moments will never pass again. Everything that we have is unique in time. And as so many of the saints say, I want to live all the love that I can now because it's the only chance I have to do it freely and voluntarily. As Thérèse of Lisieux says, Lord, let me suffer all that I can on earth because it's the only place I can do so with my will. After this, our will be purified. It will be in a process of purification, or it will be fused with God's will in heaven. So this is where we have the opportunity to make our fiat, to say our yes to God in everything that we do. That's why he asked that it be continuous. I'm going to read one last reading today. This is also from the Book of Heaven, and the date for this reading, this is a beautiful passage where Mary talks about, Jesus talks to Louisa about how Mary had everything that she did had its origin in this fiat of God. This is taken from April 5th, 1908. So, and Misha is going to read this verse now.
Continuing in my usual state, I found myself outside of myself, within a garden, in which I could see the Queen Mama placed on a very high throne. I yearned to go up there to kiss her hand, and as I tried to go, she came to meet me, giving me a smacking kiss on my face. In looking at her, I saw as though a globe of light in her interior. And within that light, there was the word fiat. From that word descended many different unending seas of virtues, graces, greatnesses, glory, joys, beauties, and everything that our Queen Mama contains as a whole. Everything was rooted in that fiat, and all of her goods took their origin from the fiat. O omnipotent, prodigious, holy fiat, who can comprehend you? I feel mute. It is so great that I can say nothing. Therefore, I stop here. So I looked at her with amazement, and she said to me, My daughter, all of my sanctity came out from within the word fiat. I did not move even for one breath, one step, one action, or anything at all, if not within the will of God. My life, my food, my all was the will of God, and this produced such sanctity, riches, glories, honors for me, not human, but divine. So the more the soul is united, identified with the will of God, the more she can be called holy, and she is loved more by God. And the more she is loved, the more she is favored, because her life is nothing but the product of the will of God. How can he not love her if she is his own thing? Therefore, one must not look at how much or how little he does, but rather at whether it is wanted by God. In fact, the Lord looks more at something little, if it is according to His will, than at something great without it.
Thank you, Misha. So there we have Mary's whole life, in a sense, summed up in one word. As she says herself, the word fiat, let it be done to me. And we know that was certainly her response at the moment of the Annunciation, when the angel Gabriel came to her. But as she says, it was more than that one time. It was in everything she did. That not even one breath or one step, one act, or anything at all did she do that was not in the will of God. She called it her life, her food, and her all was the will of God. And so, dear friends, that's what we desire. It's what our Blessed Mother desires for each and every one of us, that the will of God, as it was for Jesus and Mary, be our food, be our all, be our life, be everything to us. And so we thank you for being with us today, and as we conclude this hour, we want to again wish all of our mothers out there, those here with us, a very happy and blessed Mother's Day, and to honor our Blessed Mother in a special way this month, let us say together, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. So again, thank you for joining us. If you have any questions, be happy to receive them at divinewillquestions@gmail.com. And so, God bless you all. Have a wonderful day. And may Almighty God keep you always in the heaven of His will, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.